Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'd like to welcome you to an exciting new series on the Qalam podcast, Quranic Reflections, where all of our instructors here at Qalam share their thoughts and insights, reflections, research in regards to various chapters and verses of the Quran. We hope and pray that this will become a very beneficial resource for people to develop an understanding of the Quran and to come closer to the Book of Allah. If this is of benefit to you, please visit supportqalam.com. Visit supportqalam.com and donate and contribute generously. That is what allows us to continue to do this work and deliver the understanding of Islam to as many people as possible all around the world. Now, go ahead and listen. Please share with family and friends. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa khususan ala sayyidi rusuli wa khatami al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. Surah An-Nisa was also revealed in Madinah Munawwara, just as Surah Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran were revealed in Madinah Munawwara. According to the scholars, they say the time of revelation of Surah An-Nisa is after the Battle of Uhud. And in the Battle of Uhud, many Muslims were martyred. As a result of this, there were some very specific rulings that were revealed regarding orphans and women, because many soldiers were martyred in that battle. In Surah An-Nisa, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings many ahkam, many rulings and etiquettes on dealing with women justly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights and very clearly specifies certain rights of women. For example, there was a custom that the Arabs had that when a person would die, the wife would be inherited just as a property would be inherited, going on to the next person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly prohibits this. لَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَرِثُ النِّسَاءَ كَرْهًا, that it's not permitted for you to inherit women. They're not commodity or product that after one person passes away, it goes on to the next. Similarly, there are ahkam regarding orphans. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the hypocrites as well. And along with the discussion of talking about hypocrites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala educates Muslims on certain rulings that will highlight the true and inner nature of a believer. There is a verse in particular I wanted to focus on today. Verse number 86 of Surah An-Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah teaches us the crux of community building, establishing societies, how to develop people into one big body who in themselves as individuals are so different. You know, going off of yesterday's discussion, building unity. People are so different colors, different races, different backgrounds, and they gather together in one masjid. How do you develop them? How do you bring them together? This was a task the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself had to deal with in Madinah Munawwara. He's in Madinah Munawwara. He has companions that have migrated with him from Mecca. Arabs, even though they were very similar, they were very different. And they were very proud over their tribes. And it was something that the Arabs themselves were concerned that how will these two different nations, these two different groups, the Muhajirun and Ansar, how will they mesh together? Usually when a nation houses refugees, at the beginning, everything's handy-dandy because everyone's really excited. But the question is, what happens in the long run? Is there true integration? Or are these refugees, these people who've moved into your community, the migrants, are they left aside? Are they abandoned? Are they the butt of all problems? Do you blame them for everything that's failing in your country? Do you say that it was the immigrants? And go and look across the world and every country that has adopted immigrants. This is the problem that they end up with. Down the line, when they take a hit, any problem they face, who is the first group of people they blame? That it was these people. We shouldn't have taken them into our borders. Every single country. This is not just an American problem. As Muslims, we think of America's state and then we forget about our own countries. When the truth is, it's very possible that the country that we're from has made the very same claims after hosting a group of asylum seekers or immigrants. The Prophet ﷺ is building community. He's building a strong community. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a sight far and broad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Surah Nisa, which is revealed later on, but the principle is adopted right from the get-go. One of the first speeches given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his arrival in Medina Munawwara, as narrated by Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu an, who was a Jewish community leader, an educator, a scholar. And he says that the first time I laid my eyes on the Prophet, I knew that his face was not the face of a liar. And then now it was time for me to hear his words. His appearance matched the bill. He matched the description of a prophet. Now it was time to see whether his words matched the bill. And he said, I came close to the Prophet and I put my ear to listen to him. And the first words I heard from his blessed mouth were the words the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ayyuhan nas, O people, afshu salam, spread salam amongst one another. At'imu at'am, feed food to one another. Wasilu al-arham, join ties and bonds. Be good people. Wasallu bil-layli wa nasu niyam, pray during the night while people are sleeping. Tadkhulu al-jannata bi salam, you will enter into paradise with peace. And in this verse of Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us how to build communities. We as a community talk about uniting. We talk about being one body. We talk about being one unit. The lectures are very regular on the importance of uniting as an ummah, building our bonds. But if we aren't willing to take this one step, and I'm sorry for being so blunt, I think we aren't truthful to our statement that we really want unity in our ummah. If we can't take this one step, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran teaches us in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 86, وَإِذَا حُيِّيْتُمْ بِتَحَيِّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. إِذَا حُيِّيْتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ, when you are greeted with a greeting, and the greeting of Islam is السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as narrated by Imam Tirmidhi, by Imam Ahmad, by Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullahi alayhi, إِنَّ أَوْلَ النَّاسِ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ مَنْ بَدَأَهُمْ بِالسَّلَامِ. The person most deserving of Allah's favor and mercy, or the person closest to Allah, is the one who initiates salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraging and motivating his community to give salam to one another. He said, أَلْبَادِئُ بِالسَّلَامِ بَرِيءٌ مِّنَ الْكِبْرِ. The one who initiates salam, he's walking past people and smiles at them and says, Assalamu alaikum. This person's heart is free of pride. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the companions that you will not enter into paradise until your faith is complete. And your faith will not be complete until you love one another. Should I not tell you something that if you do it, you will truly love one another? The companions said, O Messenger of Allah, yes. And think of this. You will not enter into paradise until your faith is complete. Your faith cannot be complete until you learn to love one another. And you cannot love one another until you have this first building block there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمْ أَحْبَبْتُمْ. That should not guide you towards a thing that if you do it, you will love one another. The companion said, بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Of course, O Messenger of Allah, what's that one thing that we can do? And what was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's response? What was his response? أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Say salam to one another. Say salam to one another. You know, sometimes the irony is that we adopt the external of our deen, and for someone who looks from the outside, we look united. But the internal is so hollow that we are aware how divided we are. We as Muslims, we boast and we're so proud to say to people that we are a united nation. We have diversity. We stand in salah next to one another. No pride, no ego, shoulder to shoulder, feet to feet, in one line, our heels are straight. You know, this is something that we're proud of. The Imam says, Allahu Akbar, we go into ruku' and sajda together, we stand up together. But what about if someone were to ask you, that person that you've been praying salah next to for the past 10 years, what's their name? And what would the answer be on our part, guys? I have no idea at all. Because the external element of unity, we adopted it, but what unity, what that external was supposed to deliver to us, that internal, it never made it back. Until we don't take this seriously, this idea of salam, what does it mean to give salam? You know, when we talk about afshu salam, spread salam amongst yourself, why is the greeting of salam so important? Why is it better than what's going on? Why is it better than what's up? How's it going? Why is it better than hi and hello? Why is assalamu alaikum better? Because it's not just a greeting, it's a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a commitment. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're asking Allah's mercy and blessing for that person. And assalamu alaykum in itself is a commitment. What does assalamu alaykum mean? Anyone? Peace be with you? You know, peace be with you is a translation. That's not the meaning of assalamu alaykum. There's a difference between the two. You know, one's a tarjuma, one's the ma'na. The tarjuma is, it means peace be with you. The meaning of it is that it's a commitment. When I meet you and I say assalamu alaikum to you, I'm making a commitment to you that during this gathering of ours, you will receive nothing from me but peace. During this gathering, I won't harm you with my words. Al-Muslimu man salam al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. During this gathering of ours, I just said assalamu alaikum to you, and a believer never goes against his word. I will not harm you with my hands. I will not have ill intention and ill thoughts against you. Assalamu alaikum is a very powerful commitment. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, addressing the companions, he told them that when a person enters into their home, the first thing they should say is what? Make that commitment to your family. The companions talk about the salam of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his salam wasn't just a salam alaikum. It wasn't one of those. The Sahabi Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu narrates the hadith in Bukhari that after I accepted Islam, there wasn't a time I met the Prophet of Allah, but he said salam to me while he was smiling, always smiling. The salam wasn't an obligation. It was a desire. It was a yearning. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam greeted us, he turned to us fully. He didn't turn his head or look from the corner of his eyes and give salam. When he gave salam to us, he shook our hand. The hadith is in Bukhari. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shook my hand. My one hand was in between his two hands, humbly. The companions, they say, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would shake someone's hand, he wouldn't let go until that person was satisfied and they would withdraw from the handshake first. If we had warm greetings like this, you tell me we wouldn't be one strong ummah. You tell me we wouldn't be one strong nation. If our commitments are true, if our salah means something to us, if our ibadah means something to us, it has to translate into us being better people outside of our ibadah. I always tell my students, salah starts with Allahu Akbar, addressing Allah, and ends with Assalamu Alaikum, addressing mankind. And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that in this salah, what I just did, my connection, my communication with Allah, it ends with Assalamu Alaikum, me addressing mankind, telling them that I've just come back as a better person. My mi'raj, my ascension to Allah, just transformed me into being a better human being. The Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, إِذَا حُيِّتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّهَا. When you are greeted with a greeting, either you have two options. فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا. If that person gives you a greeting, you should give a greeting better than their greeting. أَوْ رُدُّهَا. Or at least match it. That person says to you, Assalamu alaikum, your response should be, Wa alaikum salam. Or even better, it could be, Wa rahmatullah. Even better, it could be, Wa barakatuh. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one person came in and said, Assalamu alaikum. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's response was 10. Another person came and said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's response was 20. That's it. He didn't say anything more. All he said was 20. Another person came, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's response was 30. The companions asked the Messenger of Allah, what's this 10, 30, 10, 20, 30? Are we counting our tens now? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, this resembles the reward that you're getting. So if you ask me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he closes off by saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَسِيبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully observing and is accountant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accounting every single thing. If you ask me, what are the benefits of giving salam? I can list three for you that I shared with you right now. The first thing is, there is nothing that is more effective in bond building than assalamu alaikum. Building communities, then assalamu alaikum. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself used to build his community. In a time of potential crisis, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used salam as a foundation, and also feeding one another in the rest of the hadith. The second benefit is, there's a reward in it. As in the month of Ramadan, aren't we looking for a reward? Yes or no? You know, is there any moment of Ramadan that isn't blessed? So why not give salam to people? And the third thing, it's one of the most effective ways to gain your entry into Jannah. Giving salam is sunnah. Responding to the salam is wajib. And Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi says that it is farz, and there is ijma' on this. What does Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi say? That responding to a salam is mandatory. And he says that there is a consensus on this. Because when I say salam to you, and you heard me, and you don't say salam to me, how am I going to feel? A little salty, right? Man, I just give salam to that guy, and why didn't he respond to me? Did I do something wrong? Did I bother this person? And this is going to create hatred and animosity. So when someone says salam to you and you hear it, you must respond loud enough for that person to hear you in return. You must respond loud enough for that person to hear you in return. And be warm about it. Be excited about it. If we as a community can act upon this teaching of the Quran, giving greetings to one another. And when we do greet, when we are greeted, make sure we respond back with a better greeting. Make sure we respond back with a greater and more firm commitment, and that we say it loud enough so that person hears us. And for those of us who are initiating the salam, keep doing it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, your heart is free of pride. You walk into a room, there are three guys there. And everyone's wondering, who's going to say salam first? You walk around for 10 seconds, it gets awkward, you walk out. Our egos don't allow us to say salam to the other person. Because we feel that if I say salam, that somehow implies that I'm inferior to that person, that's why I had to initiate the salam. Do it for the sake of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, bari'un min al-kibr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts from kibr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a nation that gives salam, that's excited about giving salam, that's warm about giving salam. When I go to a Muslim country, my best feeling is, I know I can give salam to everyone. You know, when I come to the masjid, I get excited because I can give salam to everyone. After Jum'ah Salah, when I'm sitting here and praying my sunnah, by Allah, my heart tells me every Friday, we'll pray sunnah later, go to the door and give salam to people. But when I turn around, people are already praying salah behind me. So I say, well, I'm locked in now. Might as well pray my sunnah. So be excited about it. You know, teach our kids from a young age. Say salam to this person. Say salam to that person. You know, build this ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, bond our hearts, and grant us the reward, and grant us the ability of spreading salam the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.